From this angle, the Shanghai Bund still retained its charm of 50 years ago when it was the center of many foreign news agencies which erected their buildings there. On November 14, 1936, the China Weekly Review printed an article by Edgar Snow entitled Interviews with Mao Zedong, Communist Leader. A month later, Mao Zedong appeared in the US Life magazine under the title of First Pictures of China's Roving Communists. Besides Snow's consummate photograph of Mao Zedong was a note. Mao is his name. His head is worth $250,000. Many mysterious communists who had remained unknown to the outside world for almost 10 years made their first appearance to Western readers. Agnes Smedley wrote an editor's note to the picture, stating that the army of the Chinese Communist Party was almost mysterious. For nearly 10 years, their whereabouts were uncertain. Their leader Mao Zedong was regarded as the Chinese Stalin or the Chinese Lincoln. After Time magazine made a success, the US news giant Henry Robinson Luce published another magazine, Life, a journal distinguished by its pictorial effect. Born in China in a missionary family, Luce found it hard to cut his destined ties with China. He made China an indispensable and important part of the content of Life since its publication in 1923. Eminent Chinese political personages like Sun Yat-sen, Song Qingling, Zhang Zuolin, Zhang Zongchang, Pu Yi, Chiang Kai-shek, Song Meiling and T.V. Song appeared one by one in the journal. Chiang Kai-shek appeared on the cover of Time as early as April 4, 1927. Luce regarded him as a leader of an era. Yet, in early 1937, the same Luce realized through the Xi'an incident the possibility of a united front of resistance against Japan when his sensibility as a good news reporter got the better of his political inclination. In the spring of 1937, Luce and many foreign reporters seemed to hear the booming cannons of the approaching war. Six months later, on July 7, 1937, Lugou-Chao Bridge became the focus of world attention. China started a full-scale resistance war against Japanese invaders. All foreign journalists in China were to witness a vigorous and brutal war on the land of China. After the July 7th incident, the nationalist government exercised restraint and carried out a policy of non-resistance. As a result, Beijing and Tianjin fell into Japanese hands. The war spread to Shanghai in early August. Nanjing was occupied in December. In a mere 6 months, the Japanese troops controlled many important cities in the interior of China. As the war spread rapidly, foreign journalists in China began to report on the war, exposing to the world the suffering in China as eyewitnesses. Time and again, they recounted Japanese atrocities in China. Many of the reports were extremely touching and a great international impact. The attention of the world was drawn to suffering China. On March 19, 1937, the China Weekly Review in Shanghai published a supplement called Destruction of China. It carried an article by a US journalist entitled Suzhou in Terror, describing the death and destruction he saw when he entered the city at dawn. Words fail to describe the tragic scene, he said. He was heavily weighed down by sadness. The only consoling sight was a Chinese priest taking 1,000 refugees to Guangfu. Helen Foster Stowe was spending a few months in Yan'an when the war broke out. She was the only Western journalist in Yan'an at the end of 1937. Her impression of Yan'an was that life was orderly, although the atmosphere was tense. The Red Army was in readiness to set out to the front in 5 minutes. The July 7th incident added to their eagerness to set out. Agnes Smedley wrote in her diary on October 23, 1937, that she was writing in the headquarters of the 8th Route Army when she had been for the past month. She even took part in military activities and gave a great deal of publicity to the struggle against Japanese invaders. She often followed Zhu De around. This visit made her an author on Zhu De's life. The city of Wuhan in central China was strategically important. After the Japanese troops occupied Nanjing near the end of 1937, the nationalist government retreated to Hankou. Wuhan became a wartime capital. Wuhan became an important city when people were united in the fight against Japanese invaders. Many Western institutions in China moved to Wuhan. So was the office of the 8th Route Army in Nanjing. Zhou Enlai was appointed vice director of the political department of the nationalist government's military commission. The American military officers who were to influence the situation in China in a few years gathered there too. This was a picture of a military attaché of the U.S. embassy. This picture was quite symbolic of the close relationship between the two countries. Foreign friends who supported China in its fight against the aggressors gathered there and experienced the Chinese people's enthusiasm in their resistance struggle. Edgar Snow appeared again in the dangerous parts of China. Almost every day, he dispatched news to the United States to a much-read column of the Weekly Life. Agnes Smedley was among the journalists too. In the eyes of foreign journalists, the Chinese people's enthusiasm of resistance war was rising to an unprecedented height. Later, Bertrand narrated what he saw in his memoir that Hankou was bombed in waves every day. Now and then, Madame Chang's remaining planes and planes manned by American, Italian and Russian pilots flew up to defend the city. It was becoming more and more like Madrid, a frontal capital that won public support. Unlike poor Nanjing that was forsaken and trampled on, it stood erect proudly as it persisted in the resistance war. Israel Epstein came to China as a correspondent of the United Press of America. This picture was taken after the victory of the battle at Taiyuan Zhuang.